Really nice to be together. Lovely to see you all this morning. I think before we begin, Alan has got a notice.
Right, yep. Hopefully you'll have had an email from Jackie Crisp about the Christmas leaflet, Christmas booklet, sorry, not a leaflet, a booklet, which is now ready to be distributed throughout the benefice. And we need all hands on deck on this one, folks, please. If you are not isolating and you're physically able, we need you to pick up some booklets from the office. The office open Monday and Thursday between 9:15, 9:30, and 12:15-ish. There are, what, 2,500 leaf booklets to go out, and we've got an extra little booklet in there that we picked up, which is going out with the, with our own booklet, with some stuff about Christian hope. So it would be really good if people could do this, if you are able to do it. You know, if you're isolating, obviously not. If you're physically not able to do it, obviously not. But everyone else, please, can you do it rather than leave it to the gallant few, which sometimes happens. All right, so if you've got any queries, you can ask Jackie Crisp or ring the office or me or any of the staff. That'd be great. All right, thanks. Back to you, Andrea.
Thank you. Now, I have one more notice today before we begin. Could you just put a spotlight on a particular person, please, Alan?
And I would do. Trouble is, he's hiding away.
Is he not there?
He's not there.
Fred, are you there? He's not there.
We'll get him at the end, shall we?
We'll get him at the end then.
Right.
Right. Okay. It is Fred's birthday today, so.
Your bandwidth, so that's that. Well, I can't be.
I know, I can.
Well, you're going to fix it. You're going to stand there.
Right. No, that wasn't Fred.
It wasn't, no. Okay.
I'll move to the service proper.
Thank you. There are many traditions around Advent, and one of the traditions that we've been celebrating at All Saints East Tuddenham is the tradition of Posada. Posada is a Spanish word which means inn, and Posada celebrates the journey of Mary and Joseph travelling to Bethlehem for the census. In homes across the country, nativity figures are taken from house to house and given shelter, enabling families the chance to play host to Mary and Joseph. And this tradition began in Mexico, where the posada is part of traditional fiestas before Christmas. And it's held 9 days before Christmas, leading up to Christmas Eve or Noche Buena, which is Holy Night. We are reminded of the hardship that Mary and Joseph went through in order to make that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and their difficulty in finding a place to stay where Mary could birth her baby. The Holy Family were welcomed by a stranger in Bethlehem, and so by hosting Mary and Joseph, we can show them the same kindness they were shown by the innkeeper. We're also reminded that there are many families today throughout the world who are forced to leave their homes and travel long and dangerous roads to find a safe place to stay, a place that they can call home. Now, normally the Posada, we would have a special service at East Tuddenham, and then the Posada would be sent into the schools of Yaxham and Hockering to be passed around the children from house to house. But because of coronavirus this year, Mary and Joseph are not allowed to go from house to house. We thought that would not be a good idea. So we thought, well, why not make your own? So the schools and the children within them have been invited to make their own posada. However, and you will know this from a letter I sent out in the week, this activity is not just for children. And I would like to invite you to get creative, to make a posada set of your own, a Mary and a Joseph. You can make the set from any medium you like, from paper or cardboard tubes. If you're feeling very creative, you could carve it out of wood. You can sculpt them out of clay, or you can even get very creative and sculpt them out of cake if you so choose. However, we'd like you to make a display in your window and to use them as a prompt to pray for refugees and asylum seekers this Christmas, to pray for those who've never met with the living God, and to pray for yourselves as we prepare during this Advent season to welcome Jesus, the Saviour of the world. However you make your posada, I'd love you to take some pictures and share them with us so that we can put the pictures on our website and our Facebook page to remind others of the preparations that we are making in this Advent season. So as we come together on this Advent Sunday, let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for Mary and Joseph and for their courage and trust. Please be with us as we travel through Advent this year and as we seek to become the people you call us to be. May we too have courage and trust in all things. We pray for all who travel. We remember all who search for truth. We remember all refugees and those without homes. And we remember all who care for and comfort those in need. And as much as we are able this year, may our churches, our schools, and our homes be places of welcome and hospitality. We pray for and ask your blessing on all homes who would host Mary and Joseph this Christmas. And loving God, we ask your blessing on everyone who encounters our nativity figures this year. May they and we be touched by your presence in our lives, and may by the miracle of that first Christmas. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join together in our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
So I'm just waiting for something to happen. There we go.
Oh, well.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. As we enter this new season of the church's year, what does Advent mean to you? We're just going to take a moment to think about what Advent means to each one of us. And after that short time, we're going to play you a short YouTube clip. Thank you, Ellen. Much to think about there, and Mel will be expanding on some of that a little bit later on in our service. Another tradition that we have during Advent normally is that each church would have an Advent wreath and we would light a candle. Now, I've got a candle behind me. Some of you may have candles at home, and I'm just going to light the first candle on my Advent wreath behind me. People of God, awake. The day is coming soon when we shall see God face to face. Remember the ways and works of God. God calls us out of darkness to walk in the light of his coming. We are God's children. Lord, make us one as we walk with Christ today and forever. Amen. And so we come to a time of confession because we do not always walk in the light of Christ. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Heavenly Father, you have created a universe of light. Forgive us when we return to darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Cleanse and heal our blinded sight. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, you give light in our hearts. Renew us in faith and love. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, pure our hearts and minds, that when your Son, Jesus Christ, comes again as Judge and Saviour, we may be ready to receive him, who is our Lord and our God. Amen. We sing together again, King of Kings, Majesty, and my Jesus, my Saviour.
All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower.
refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I have, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, O the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing the joy and the words of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Going to hand over to David now, who's going to bring us our reading.
Reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us from your word today so that we might approach Advent differently this year. Amen. Do you like surprises? My family will testify that as I'm a bit of a control freak, I don't. Even as a child, I was never really keen on surprises and much preferred it when the elves adhered to my Christmas list. Some of you will know that I have the misfortune to have my birthday on Boxing Day, which brings with it challenges for my family as they try to sort out two presents and the extra cost. And I mostly felt shortchanged as a child when I got a joint present for birthday and Christmas, because then there was nothing for me to open on my birthday. But the best surprise was the year my parents bought me a bike as a joint present. I must have been about 10, and it was a time that the Moulton Mini was the most must-have bike. If you remember, they had very little wheels and a high saddle and high handlebars. Well, my parents, with the help of Santa, brought me the Halfords equivalent, and I couldn't have been more delighted. But the only problem with disliking surprises is that you get very few good surprises. And especially at Christmas, you can end up feeling rather deflated on the day. If you add in that you have helped the elves get some of the presents for your family, you've also got presents on behalf of elderly parents to save expensive postage. Or this year, when you're uncertain if you will see your family, you may well have purchased them to help the elves and you've wrapped them as well. And while your family might be surprised, you're not. Add to all the other Christmas preparations, you can feel that by the time the day comes, the sparkle has gone. We saw in our YouTube clip earlier, we were told, if you remember, that Advent was a period of about 4 weeks, which prepares us for Christmas. Sorry, prepares us for Christmas. Say that again. Prepares us for Christmas. I thought it was all about us rushing around and getting ready. Us getting Christmas prepared. My hairdresser's favourite phrase at this time of the year is, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And while many of you may already be sitting in the smug zone, presents acquired and wrapped, turkeys ordered, tree trimmed, your new outfit all ready, I know that I will be running around like a headless chicken or turkey in 4 weeks' time, or even on Christmas Eve. Of course, I know the reason for the season, as our clip said, it's when we celebrate Christ entering our world. But it also said Advent is expectant waiting. Surely not. More like head filled rushing about. It also said it was hopeful anticipation. Well, surely it's just hoping that all the Amazon deliveries are on time, the online grocery shopping delivery will be complete, there's not a power cut on Christmas morning, and you've remembered to send your cards to everyone. Oh, it was also described as joyful preparation. Surely there's no time to be joyful, is there? There's just all that preparation. Shopping, cooking, decorating. Oh, correction. It actually said, Advent is expectant waiting, hopeful anticipation, and joyful preparation of God coming into our lives and hearts. Ah, in all moments, all places, all times. There is a surprise. Well, of course, it shouldn't be a surprise. But how many of us struggle to remember this when the busyness takes over? The clip also reminds us that Advent is thinking about the past, the present, and the future, commemorating the birth of Jesus into our world, welcoming God into our lives every day, and preparing for Christ's second coming. It's a season of joy and hope. Our passage is all about Christ's second coming, when Jesus returns to judge, and there is a new heaven and a new earth. When I was a young Christian in my teenage years, there was much talk about us being in the end days. And it really scared me. Our cipher group watched a film called A Thief in the Night, and that made things worse. I thought about members of my family who didn't yet know Jesus and how they might not be saved. I thought about my future plans, which might not come to fruition. Plans, hopefully, to get married, have a family, travel. My hope and joy were taken away. But here I am, some 40 plus years later, and while some people may be equating the current pandemic to the end days, maybe because I've achieved all of my plans, or some of them, my feelings have changed. But have I just become complacent? Am I even waiting? Our passage in total is a mixed bag of quotations from the book of the prophecies in the Old Testament and a parable. And without going deeply into the passage, which I've done before from the other ones in the Gospels when they relate this story, all I want to say is Jesus certainly seems to be referring to different events. And if we go back to the beginning of the chapter, we can deduce that Jesus is talking about the destruction of the temple in AD 70, which is why he says in verse 30, that truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away before all these things happen. But verse 26 is clearly an image of Jesus' second coming. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. So Jesus seems to be talking about one event in the near future and one in the distant future. But in the case of both, Jesus makes it clear, the day and the hour are not known even to him. Only God knows the appointed time. It will be his choosing. And we have our parable in verses 34 to 35 of a man going away, leaving his servants in charge of his house, each with his own job to do. The man on the door is told to keep watch. And because you do not know what hour or day he will return, evening, midnight, or dawn, you must keep watch. The man on the door, the doorkeeper, must keep watch, for he will recognize his master's voice on his return. He is told not to be found sleeping when the master returns. The watchman is a bit like a concierge in a big block of flats. He keeps a watchful eye on the comings and goings. He knows who to admit to the building, and he's on duty 24/7. The watchman must remain watchful. Be alert. Wait expectantly. Expectant waiting should mean joy and hope. Andrea and Tim were recently waiting expectantly with hope and joy for the birth of their grandson. And usually, anyone who has been pregnant, any expectant couple or prospective grandparents, wait with joy and hope. And unless a woman has a planned C-section, the day and hour of the arrival of the new baby is unknown. Waiting expectantly also means getting prepared. Few expectant parents wait until the birth of their child to get ready. They buy, borrow, or are given essential items. They attend antenatal classes and talk to others about what to expect. And much of that preparation is joyful. There is joyful anticipation of a new baby, a new member of the family. And I know for others that that joyful anticipation may be very difficult, especially for those who've experienced a difficult pregnancy, a miscarriage, or a stillbirth. So if using this analogy has caused you pain, I am sorry. So what about us? Are we watching expectantly for Jesus to return? One commentator suggests being watchful is being faithful under pressure. Expectant waiting cannot have a large anxiety component, like my teenage angst about the second coming, because anxiety robs us of joy and hope. Some of you may know that my son was born with a cleft lip, and this made it very hard to wait expectantly when I was pregnant with my daughter until I had my 20-week scan and they told me that everything was okay. But even up to that point, I had anticipated her birth joyfully. It's also very pertinent to the time we're living in. The pandemic itself has brought pressure, anxiety, and fear. The restrictions themselves bring pressure. Just try listening to the different arguments about whether Christmas should go restriction-free or whether we should still remain careful. But we should remain watchful, continuing to spread the gospel, continuing, as Mark talked to us last week, serving Christ in our actions towards others, feeding the hungry, tending to the sick and imprisoned, providing shelter and clothing to the poor and homeless. We are not meant to spend our time working out what sort of prophetic timetable of when Jesus will return. We are to remain faithful under pressure. And as Alan and Sue said the other week, that pressure might mean persecution too. But we are to remain faithful and to wait expectantly with joy and hope. So can we this year change our mindset about Advent? Can we perhaps pray more? Perhaps light an Advent candle each day. Think more about the Advent calendar and what it means than the chocolate or surprise inside. Perhaps we can make and display a passada set, as Andrea suggested. Maybe we could read an Advent book. Can we serve others? And maybe we will have a few surprises on the way. Might not be a red shiny bike, but God may reveal to us some special truths or promises which we can hold on to and delight in. Can we share the joy and hope? Can we allow our hearts to be filled with joy and hope? I'd like to finish by us watching the clip again. And as we do, let us consider how we can make this Advent different, where we can truly see Advent as expectant waiting, hopeful anticipation, and joyful preparation of God coming into our lives and hearts in all moments, all places, all times. Amen.
Thank you, Mel. Much food for thought there. And so we come to declare our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to judge
the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing again, Longing for Light. So we turn to prayer now, and I'm going to hand over to Colin to lead us.
Let us pray. This time is a time of waiting, a time of watching, a time of expectancy, a time of hope. Thank you, Lord, that we have hope. Especially during this pandemic, when our hearts and minds are tested in strength and consistency. It's been hard for us all throughout society, from the young to the old. No one is spared the challenge. Only you, Lord, can uphold our spirit as you gently cradle us in your arms. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for all essential workers whose care is stretched to the limits, yet still they are there for us all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, we wait for your coming to us again. We look for the light, for you are our true redemption. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Dear Lord, we give you families that have lost loved ones at this time, people who are lost and lonely, others have no jobs, people who despair of their future financially. Lord, be with them. Come alongside. Guide and comfort. They are yours. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for all the troubles of the world, war, famine, disorder, and persecution. We pray for Derek and Paula on their way to Honduras, following the hurricane. Lord, support and keep them safe to do your work physically and in spirit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for ourselves, all the clergy, our individual churches, communities, and villages, our benefice, and the world church. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Keep us, O Lord, while we live on this earth. Keep us looking for you and walking with you. And when you come, may we not hide our talent, yet shine bright to do your will in this place. Amen. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We join together saying the Lord's Prayer, in whichever version is closest to your hearts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your name.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Before we sing again, just a reminder that we will be going into breakout groups after the service. This is a great opportunity to catch up and check in with one another. So please do stay if you can. I'd also like to today wish Fred a very happy birthday. Can we highlight Fred for a minute, Alan? Maybe not. It is Fred Garner's birthday today, so we do wish him well for the day. He's disappeared again. So we're going to move on to our final hymn, I Cannot Tell.
It's Andrea Wood's birthday today.
I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men. Why a shepherd he should see the wanderers to bring them back, they know not how or when. But this I know, that he was born of Mary, when Bethlehem's manger was
Hello, we know that off.
With love and compassion.
Come, Lord Jesus.
With judgment and mercy.
Come, Lord Jesus.
In moments of ease and times of trial.
Come, Lord Jesus.
In power and in great glory.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you. Scatter the darkness from before your path and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all and all those we love and pray for, now and evermore. Amen. As we await our coming Saviour, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
We will see you all in about 5 minutes' time. If you're staying for breakout groups, that would be great.